Good evening, everyone. It is Proverbs chapter 1 where we want to begin tonight. I'm going to reel off seven verses right here in just a moment. And so I would encourage you right now to get your Bibles out and find Proverbs chapter 1 as we get ready to spend a few precious minutes together here in the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 1. If you're turning there, that will give me just a quick chance to join in the welcome from earlier. Brian's already extended to you. It is great to see everybody this evening. It's just always so good that we can come together like this for a second time on Sunday. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, you don't have to have a second service on a Sunday, but I want us to understand and have the mindset that says this is a privilege. This is just a blessing that God has provided us with the health and with the freedom and with the means to be able to come together multiple times like this. And on other occasions through the week, we'll meet together on Wednesday and have other occasions at the end of the week with the gospel meeting. And I hope that you see that as for what it truly is. And it's a joy and it's a privilege and it's a blessing that we can come together as God's people and worship Him and stir each other up in a good way that we might serve the Lord in a better way. I'm glad that you're here. Hope you've got Proverbs chapter 1 queued up now. Let's read together in the first seven verses. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, king of David, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. One fella quipped, "We don't need a fountain of youth today. We have plenty of youth. What we need is a fountain of smart." And you know what? I think there's some truth to that, particularly as we think about our culture and the country in which we live, because all around us we see people who are living life recklessly and, dare I even say, stupidly. There's just a lot of people, and there's just no shortage of people who are just doing dumb things in our society today. People who are living life in all of the wrong directions, doing things that really just make no sense at all, particularly if you're trying to live in view of eternity. But of course, many people today aren't living in view of eternity. They're just living for the here and now, and yet they still do dumb and ridiculous and foolish things. So many people today are pursuing the path of foolishness. And so in order for us to counter that, I guess we do need a fountain of smart. Well, actually, we do have a fountain of smart. You go home this evening and fire up your internet and get on Google or get on Wikipedia. You can get all the smarts. You can get all the facts that you need just as fast as you can click that mouse. We've got lots of smart. What we really need is wisdom. That's what we need. Wisdom is not just being smart and knowing the facts. Wisdom is knowing how to use those facts to live in the best kind of way. Wisdom is knowing the end of a thing from the beginning so that you can make the best decisions and choices. Wisdom is living life in a way that is rewarding and full and good. And wisdom is, verse 7, based in reverence and respect for God. Because wisdom does not mean that your head is just kind of up in the clouds in some kind of, you know, spiritual catharsis where you're just no good to this world and no good to anybody here on planet Earth. No, wisdom actually connects you to this present world in a very practical, day-to-day sort of way while you respect God and prepare for the world that is to come. Wisdom. That's what we need, isn't it? Well, where are you going to find wisdom? Where do you turn? Where do you go to get wisdom? Well, I want to recommend to you this evening the way of wisdom. I'm going to recommend to you some books, the books of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. I'm going to urge you to sit down at the feet of instructors like Solomon and David and Moses and Asaph and Job. I'm talking about learning from the wisdom literature that God has placed in the Bible. Those books make up a radically different section of God's Word. It's so different because there's no history in there. There's no kings, there's no prophets, there's really not even any kind of a story or a narrative to follow. There's no heavy doctrine in there like you find in Hebrews or in Romans. Why, the wisdom literature really doesn't even talk all that much about things like heaven or eternity. Mostly, wisdom literature is about this world. It's about living life under the sun, as Solomon says in Ecclesiastes. It's about how to live under the sun in the very best way. Which means that when you read the wisdom literature, it's just absolutely timeless. You know, much of it sounds like it was written just yesterday. Most of it seems like it just fits our present world and our present circumstances just right to a T. The wisdom literature of Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, it will make one wise. And those are the five books of the Bible that we will read together as a congregation this year. This evening I want to talk to you about this reading plan. This plan that's been dubbed the Way of Wisdom. And I want to talk to you about how this plan is going to work. And I want to persuade you, if you haven't already, to pick one of these up off the table in the foyer before you leave this evening. Get a reading plan, get a Bible, and let's all start this week on the Way of Wisdom. Let's all together, as members of the Lakeside Church of Christ, we're going to get on that pathway, that road, the Way of Wisdom. And what I really hope is by the end of this lesson tonight, you'll do that not out of a sense of obligation or duty, but you'll be eager to do that. You'll be excited to pursue after wisdom, the wisdom that's found in the wisdom literature. Now, as we begin to talk about that, let's just remind ourselves here at the beginning about just some things about Bible reading, really just in a general sort of way. Some things that I always like to emphasize right here at the beginning of the year, and we'll usually emphasize all throughout the year as we think about Bible reading. Would you find in your Bible 2 Timothy chapter 3? We're going to come back to the wisdom literature in just a few minutes. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, if we're ever going to talk about Bible reading, right here is the passage that has to undergird all of that discussion. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, there the Word of God tells us about what it can do for us. In 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 16, Paul writes here, "All Scripture is breathed out by God. And it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." Now, if you believe that passage, and I should surely hope that everybody who's in this room on this night, you do believe that passage. If you do believe that passage, then you must be about the business of reading God's Word regularly. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I believe the biggest failure that we can make as Christians is just a failure to involve ourselves on a regular basis in the reading and the studying of God's Word. You think about it. If you believe someone whenever they burst into a room and they say, "Tornado! Tornado! Tornado is on its way!" If you really have faith that what that person says is true and correct, then what are you going to do? You're going to go find cover. You're going to duck. You're going to get to some kind of shelter and get to some kind of safe place. If a doctor tells you, "Hey, I'm really concerned about this thing that I noticed on your x-ray, this spot, this shadow, I want to send you to a specialist." If you really trust that doctor, if you really believe what they're saying is true and you have faith in the things that they're telling you, what are you going to do? You're going to go to that specialist. Now, in the very same way, if we really believe that the Bible is the breathed out, inspired Word of God, and that it is helpful for us, it's profitable for us, it reproves us, it corrects us, it trains us for righteousness, that it equips us for every good work, if you really believe that, then you gotta read the book. I don't know of any simpler way to put it. If you truly believe that, you've got to read the book. I am consistently mystified at Christians who don't see at least some need to do that. You know, I want to ask people, when they don't bother reading the Bible, I want to ask them, "Are you perfect? That you've just, you know, mastered everything in there that there is to master about Christianity? Come on, what is?" Perhaps maybe you've just decided that you can just kind of go to heaven just based on where you are right now, the level that you're at right now. Don't have to worry about growing. Don't have to worry about stretching. Don't have to worry about, you know, pressing on and knowing the Lord more and in a better kind of way. Listen very carefully. When the God of the universe, the one who created you, when He writes a book, talks about Himself, tells about Himself what He likes, what He doesn't like, when He talks about what the standard of judgment is going to be, when He talks about what eternity is going to be like, when He talks about how you ought to live in this present world, when God writes a book, then if we care about God, we're going to read that book. That just necessarily follows, doesn't it? I would say secondly, though, in this connection, that we don't ever want to approach the Bible in some sort of haphazard, kind of off-the-cuff fashion. If you'll maybe just turn back a page in 2 Timothy to chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, here's really another cornerstone passage that ought to always guide us in our reading of Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15, I'm reading from the ESV, do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. That term there, do your best, or as the New King James renders it, be diligent, or even as the Old King James. I still like the Old King James on this one. Study, that is a term that means to make a serious, concentrated effort. And I want you to understand this evening that a huge part of making a serious, concentrated effort is planning. Planning. I talked a lot about planning this morning, didn't I? You know, it's one thing to just say I'm going to do something, to wish and hope that I'll do something. It's something entirely different then to make a plan to do that something. Now, obviously this evening, I'm going to encourage you to be involved in this. I'm going to encourage you to be involved in the Way of Wisdom reading plan. But of course, this is not a requirement. You know, it's not, you know, we're going to kick you out of the Lakeside Church if you don't follow this reading plan. It's not like I'm going to stand at the door at the beginning of every service and I'm going to start looking in people's Bibles. Hey, is that a bookmark in Corinthians, Randy? What? Looks like we got a rogue reader over here, buddy. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to assign anybody else that job. You can follow a different reading plan if you so choose. Some of you, many of you made comment a couple years ago about the big picture of the Bible reading plan that we did. Several of you like that. You can read that plan. Last year we did the walk through the entire Bible, and I heard some success stories about that. You may want to follow that. You may even, and we got copies of those reading plans still in the back. You may want to just go after a totally different plan. You can get online and find all kinds of plans. You can maybe look in the back of your Bible. Some of those even have plans listed. The point is, you've got to have a plan. There has to be some kind of structure in order in how you're going to approach the reading of God's Word. If you're going to just kind of read today, just, I don't know, wherever the Bible happens to plop open. Ha! Zephaniah chapter 2. Yeah, I've really been meaning to read that passage there. And then the next day, just kind of flop it. Well, yeah, Obadiah chapter 1. Yeah, definitely need to read that passage. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen is your Bible reading isn't going to make a whole lot of sense. And you're going to end up just quickly making the decision, you know what, I'm not getting anything out of this. I'm just not going to bother doing this anymore. You need to have some consistency here. Need to have some consistency about what you're reading, about where you're reading, and about how much you're reading. And these plans that we've devised here help in doing those kinds of things. I do believe it's important to have some kind of systematic approach to reading the Bible. That's what really works best. Which leads me then to make this third observation about Bible reading. And that is that it is important and critical for us to understand that Bible reading, it's not just some kind of a once a year or even a once in a lifetime challenge. It's not what Bible reading is. You think for just a moment about climbing Mount Everest. You hear time to time people that's climbed Mount Everest. Why do people do that? Why do people go to all that trouble, all that training and all the rigorous work that goes into climbing that mountain? Why do people do that? Is it because the air up there is just so much better? Is it because that's such a safe and a healthy thing to do? Is that why people climb Mount Everest? Why do people climb to the top of Mount Everest? They climb up there so that they can say, I did it. I did it. I climbed the highest mountain in the world. Now, there may be other reasons as to why they did that, but in the main, by and large, people climb to the top of Mount Everest so that they can check that off their bucket list of great things to do. I did it. Let me ask you this. Why do a lot of people read the Bible? Let's just be candid. Sometimes we get involved in a Bible reading plan, particularly one of these plans that's read the whole Bible through in a year sort of deal. And we do that simply so we can kind of just check that off our bucket list of things to do. We can say, hey, I did it. You know, maybe somebody, you know, corners us and they're in a conversation with us and say, hey, have you ever read the Bible through in a year? And we say, oh yeah, I have. 97. Yeah, that was a great year. I read the Bible all the way through back then. Got all the way through. So glad it's over now because I'm not doing that again. No. That is not why we read the Bible. Bible reading is not something that we just check off of life's bucket list. Look in the Psalms with me in Psalm 23. You want to know why we read the Bible? I think Psalm 23 tells us. In Psalm 23, and perhaps one of the most famous of all of the Psalms, a psalm that speaks deeply and richly of our relationship with God, David records here, Psalm 23 verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You, the Lord, You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." That right there, that's why we read the Bible. Because we want to come to know our shepherd. We aren't reading our Bible just so we can check something off of a list. No, we are reading our Bible so that we as sheep can be with the shepherd. Spend time with our God. To hear His voice in our lives through these pages. To understand His point of view, His perspective, His values, and what it is that He wants us to do. You know, can you imagine? Can you imagine if I made as my New Year's resolution for 2015? My New Year's resolution last year was to spend 15 minutes just totally alone, completely, you know, uninterrupted in any way, just with me and Tiffany each day. That was my resolution. You know, we're going to, you know, get the baby put to bed, going to turn television off, going to put the cell phones away, and just going to have that 15 minutes together every night. We talk about whatever's going on and just be one-on-one, just alone with one another. Then 2016 arrives, January 1. And Tiffany shows up and she says, hey, got the baby put to bed. Looking forward to our 15 minutes together. Got a lot of stuff I want to tell you about. Lots of time, you know, spend time together. Are you ready for that 15 minutes? And I say, well, that was last year's resolution, honey. I'm not doing that this year. You know, this year my resolution is to watch as much TV as I can. Can you hand me the remote control? You think that's going to work? It's not going to work at all, is it? That's not going to work, and the reason why it's not going to work is because you can't check off relationships. That's what we're talking about here. And I want to say that again. You can't check off relationships. Our Bible reading here at Lakeside, it's not a challenge. I kind of used quotes around that. It's not a one-time thing that we're just going to kind of stress one time really, really hard, and then we're going to move on to whatever the next thing happens to be. No, our relationship to God, that's a constant. That's a forever kind of thing. It's always here. It's always present. It's always part of who and what we are. Now, if you're a new member here at Lakeside, maybe you've just come to us within the last year or so, I think this is vital for you to be able to understand. This is not something that Josh is going to get up and he's going to make a bunch of noise and a bunch of commotion about just one time, and then he's going to, you know, find some new, you know, hobby to ride on. No, you ask any of the members here who have been here for at least the 27 months that I've been here from the beginning, and they'll tell you, Josh is always stressing Bible reading, the importance of reading God's Word. And why does Josh do that? Because our relationship to God, it is a constant. It never changes. We read the Bible and we hear from God because that is a foundational and regular fixture in our lives. I'll say it again. You cannot check off relationships. In fact, that's really one of the reasons that I'm so glad we're going to be reading in the wisdom literature this year. Because really, reading all of the wisdom literature, those five books of the Bible, that's just really not that big of an accomplishment. That's not going to be the kind of thing that you're going to be able to go to somebody else and really brag about the fact that, yeah, I read Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Ain't I something? Most people are not going to be impressed with that. You look at some of the other Bible reading schedules that are floating around out there, some of those schedules will read all five of those books in just 1 week. And so if you're thinking you're going to pick up one of these schedules and you're going to just start impressing everybody because you read these five books of the Bible, guess what? You're going to be sorely disappointed. You're not going to impress anybody with that. But you know what? That's okay. That is absolutely fine, because that's not why we read the Bible. We read the Bible so that we can spend time with our God, so that we as the sheep can spend time with the shepherd. I want you to listen to me very, very carefully here. I would rather you read one verse of the Bible because you want to spend time with God than to read 50 chapters of the Bible because you're wanting to hurriedly check off a bunch of boxes and finish up the reading schedule. We read the Bible not because it's some kind of a challenge and this is our yearly thing to do. We read the Bible because we're in a relationship with God. Now, somebody would maybe ask, what's going to happen if we do pick up one of those reading plans? What's going to happen if we do start reading in the wisdom literature here in 2016? Well, let me suggest to you two or three ideas here very quickly. First and foremost, I believe you're going to find that you're just going to start living better. You are. You just won't really have much of a choice but to start living better. And I mean immediately. I mean in the here and in the now. You know, one of the great misconceptions that people have about the Bible is that the Bible, oh, it's just about, it's all about, you know, heaven, the hereafter, heavenly things, eternity. It's about, you know, something that's just far off that we can't see and we can't wrap our minds around. That the Bible really provides no kind of direction and help for day-to-day living here on planet Earth. And that, of course, is absolutely not true. The Bible just brims with all kinds of teaching about marriage and about money and about work and about relationships with others, about friendship and things along those lines. All of those things are designed to cause us to live in a way that will honor God, yes, but so that we can also someday honor Him around His great throne for all of eternity. I want you to understand that's always rooted very much in this present world, in what we're doing right now in this life. And that's never more evident whenever you start reading the wisdom literature. Let's try a little bit of that. Let's go back to Proverbs again in Proverbs chapter 14. In Proverbs chapter 14, let's just notice a couple of quick examples. I don't want to give away too much, but we will notice just a couple very quickly of some very practical yet divine wisdom. In Proverbs 14, look at verse 4. Proverbs 14, verse 4, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. But abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. Makes you think, doesn't it? That hard work is what it takes to get ahead. And yes, when you don't have any cattle, the stalls are going to stay nice and neat and pristine. Hard work is necessary, though. That's the point of this. If we're going to do well. You know, who can't get something? That's just a little nugget of life that all of us can benefit from. How about in Proverbs 17? Just maybe turn over a couple pages. In Proverbs 17, there's much in Proverbs about social relationships, our relationships to other people and how to get along with other people. Proverbs 17, verse 14. Proverbs 17, verse 14. The beginning of strife is like letting out water. So quit before the quarrel breaks out. Have you ever been in an argument with somebody? And after fussing and fighting with that person back and forth for like, you know, 5-10 minutes, you stop and think you can't even remember what you were arguing about in the first place? Wise man says stop. He says because it's like letting out water. You can't scoop all of that back up. Look at the book of Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, here's a verse I didn't notice until just recently. In Ecclesiastes 10 and in verse 10, I love this verse. In Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 10, if the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength. But wisdom helps one to succeed. What's Solomon saying there? He's saying sharpen the saw before you go cutting the tree down. You'll cut it down faster. That's what he's saying there. You see just how day-to-day and practical that kind of thing is? Without any question, the wisdom literature, it helps us to navigate through all the different areas of life in the best way possible. And in the process, it helps us to bring honor and glory to God. That's something that I'm afraid we maybe don't think about enough. As we exercise wisdom on this earth, that honors the Lord. You ever thought about that? Think about the converse of that. When you act foolishly, when you do dumb and knuckleheaded things, you think that honors the Lord? It doesn't honor the Lord and bring Him any kind of glory. But when you walk in wisdom, yeah, that brings about glory to God. That makes this life better, and it's also going to make eternity better. We need to read the wisdom literature. I'll tell you something else that will happen when you read the wisdom literature. And that is you'll start living more realistically. You think about the misconception that a lot of people have, that Christianity is just all sunshine and rainbows and gumdrops all the time. That Christians just smile all the time and we're just always happy 24/7. And that is, of course, utter nonsense. Jesus wept, John's Gospel tells us. And the followers of Jesus, we will weep too, won't we? You will weep because of tragedies and because of problems. You will weep because of unfairness and because of injustice. You will weep because of bad things that happen in your life, bad things that happen in the lives of the people who are around you. More than anything, as you journey throughout life, there's going to be lots of things that happen that you just don't understand. We're left scratching our heads thinking, why did that happen? We see awful things that happen on the news and we wonder, why? How could that be? There's lots of things in this big crazy world that just don't make any sense to us at all. It kind of just ends up being a puzzle for us. You know, where is God when these things are going on? Did God not see that injustice and that evil taking place there? Where is God more specifically when I am hurting? We have questions. We have lots of questions. And guess what? The wisdom literature never backs away from those questions. I'm looking for the book of Job now. Job comes right before Psalms in Job chapter 3. In Job chapter 3, in this great book about how God is running the universe. There's a lot of things in Job that are still puzzling for me, but I know that that is one of the main ideas, that God is the ruler of this universe. In Job 3, look at the very beginning there, Job 3 verse 1. After this, all this bad stuff that happened to Job, after this, Job opened his mouth and he cursed the day of his birth. And Job said, "Let the day perish on which I was born, and the night that said that a man is conceived." Well, that was a tough time in Job's life. You know, Job does not just have all this stuff happen to him. And then he decides, well, I need to put a smile on that. I need to just, hey, I'm victorious living. Yeah, I'm just victorious here in all things. No. Job says it is a wretched and awful day. In the Psalms, in Psalm 137. In Psalm 137, in what may be some of the saddest singing in all of God's Word. Listen to this song that was composed by the captives, the exiles in Babylon. In Psalm 137 and in verse 1, "By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. We wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our lyres. For there our captors required of us songs, our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" And that was tough. These people telling us to sing, telling us to be happy and to be all joyous. How can we joyfully sing songs of our homeland when we are captives in a strange land? That was tough. You see, rather than pretending that life is just always going to be good and always going to be grand, that everything's always going to work out just hunky-dory in the end, that we're always going to be just up, 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 we're always going to be happy, the Bible, more specifically the wisdom literature, it embraces the reality of life, the hardships of life, that life can be difficult. Life can be tough. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it even feels like God is very, very far away from us. In our reading schedule this year, if you maybe read the preface there on the front page, or maybe if you've kind of fingered through and kind of looked a little bit at how the readings are organized, in our reading schedule, we're going to be involved for the most part of the year in what I'm just calling the regular reading schedule. There's a few examples, or a few exceptions. For example, here these first couple of weeks, we're just going to be reading in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, and then we'll read one of the Psalms. But then starting in week 3, then we're going to break out in what I call just the regular reading schedule. And on that regular schedule, on Wednesdays, we will read from the Psalms. Specifically, we will read a lament psalm. A lament psalm is a psalm that cries out to God, God, I need your help here. And most of them, as you can probably guess just by calling them lament psalms, they're sad. They're not fun to read. Those psalms are going to teach us, though. They're going to teach us how to cry out to the Lord. They're going to teach us how to cry out whenever we're the ones hurting and we're suffering. Then on Thursdays, we're going to read that story of Job. You know, you think you've ever had a bad day? Job had the bad day of all bad days. He had enough trouble in one day to last several lifetimes. Those readings, again, they're not going to be enjoyable. Those readings aren't going to be all rah, rah, rah. Boy, I just love reading that. I love reading Job. I love reading them lament psalms. Nobody's going to say that after reading those. They will help us. They will help us to look at life realistically. They will teach us how to call on God. They will teach us how to persist in prayer. They will teach us how to persevere even in the face of trial, in the face of difficulty. We're going to learn by reading those passages that we are not alone. That we are not the only people who have ever suffered in some way. Those passages are going to teach us how to build a strong and sturdy and robust faith that can meet the challenges of life realistically. Furthermore, when we're reading in the wisdom literature this year, we're going to find that those particular books of the Bible are going to just be especially helpful for young people. And I wanted to be mindful of that because we got a lot of young people here at Lakeside. Did you notice in that passage we began with in Proverbs chapter 1, did you notice who the Proverbs were written to? Go back to Proverbs chapter 1 again. Look there in verse number 4. Why was this book written? Who's this book written for? Proverbs 1 verse 4. Proverbs 1 verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. That's reiterated even more when you drop down to verse 8. Who is this passage written for? Who's this addressed to? Verse 8, hear my son, hear your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. All of us. Now, this is true for, even for those of you that maybe don't even have children of your own. As you think about these kids here at Lakeside, all of us want to raise our children and our grandchildren and our kids in the right way. All of us want to see our kids to grow, not just physically, not just socially, but we want to see them to grow in wisdom, that they may indeed fear God and live life on this earth in the best way possible. And I think parents especially are going to find that this reading plan this year, it is a wonderful way to get our kids headed in that direction, in the way of wisdom. If you look at the schedule again, on Mondays and then again on Fridays, we're going to read in the Psalms. They won't be lament Psalms, they'll be different Psalms. Psalms that have a little bit more upbeat tone to them. And those Psalms are going to give us an opportunity to talk with our kids about why it is that we praise God. What are the reasons why we praise and worship and serve God? Those Psalms will really help give some specific answers to those kinds of questions. On Tuesdays, we'll be reading right there in that book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is going to paint for us just very vivid pictures, word pictures, that in many times are going to just depict wise living versus foolish living. And they're going to be about subjects that I think are very relevant to our young people. There'll be lots in the Proverbs about things like communication and about friendship. Yes, even a lot of stern warnings about sexual purity. On Wednesdays and on Thursdays, yep, we're going to read in those lament psalms and we're going to be reading in Job. And that's going to help make sure that we talk with our kids and help them understand that, yes, life can be tough. You choose to follow Jesus Christ, you choose to serve the Lord, it's going to be tough at times, and these people show us that it can be tough. Then in July, in the summer, we're actually going to take a break from that regular reading schedule, and we're going to read the books of Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, all consecutively, 4 consecutive weeks in the month of July. And that's going to help us to talk even further about relationships. Song of Solomon is about a relationship between this guy and this gal, and to talk about some things there. And the book of Ecclesiastes is going to really help us to talk with our kids about what's most important in life. That it's not about having fun, just doing fun stuff all the time, and working all the time, and pursuing all these other kinds of endeavors in life. Ecclesiastes is going to help us see what's most important. Really what makes the wisdom literature so unique is that it's not so much of God talking to man. You ever thought about this? Most of the wisdom literature is man talking to God. And you know what? That just invites discussion. If you've got young people, those are the kinds of things you want to talk with your young people about. You want to say, wow, would you say that to God? And you read Psalm 73 and see the things that guy Asaph says. Would you say that? If not, would you maybe say that in a different way? Why do you think he said that? Have you ever maybe felt that way before? How would you talk to God about those things? You know, I really wish Hattie was old enough to be able to read these passages and we could discuss these things with her. We're still looking maybe a couple years down the road before that happens. But you know what? The rest of you who have parents those of you who are parents have kids that are a little bit further along in that process, you want to get your kids involved. Read together the Bible as a family. And I want to even say specifically, just to our young people. Young people, don't just wait for your mom and dad to get a reading schedule and say, all right, come on, we're going to sit down and read the Bible tonight. How about you take the initiative? How about before you leave tonight, you go back there and grab one of those reading schedules. They're for everybody. You grab one and you read the Bible. Even if mom and dad don't read it with you, you read the Scriptures. You dive into the wisdom literature. And I believe this particular plan is just tailor-made for young people. All of us, young, old, and everybody in between, I believe we'll be able to benefit. In fact, I believe we'll be able to enjoy reading the Bible as we work through the wisdom literature. Wisdom literature is just so uplifting. It's so instructional. It's so timely. And yes, the key word, it's so wise. In fact, I'm hoping that one of the effects of this particular reading plan this year is that we will come to love God's Word even more. In fact, that's one of the recurring themes in the 119th Psalm. That's a psalm that we're going to read one stanza of every single Monday at the very beginning of the week. Before we read anything else that week, we're going to read one stanza from Psalm 119, a chapter that is devoted really entirely as an ode to the Word of God. Just magnifying, just going over and over again in many different ways about why the Scriptures are so wonderful. And as we read each of those stanzas each Monday, we will remind ourselves of how great God's Word really is. How marvelous it is that we can have it. That we can open it up, that we can read it, and we can meditate upon it. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I'm really looking forward to the way of wisdom. And I'm looking forward to some of the things that we'll try to do in the coming weeks and throughout the year to maybe try to encourage us in reading that even more. I want you to encourage you. Number one, pick up a reading schedule before you leave tonight if you haven't done that already. If you're a techie geek and you don't like carrying around paper stuff, you got to have everything electronically. Hey, I already am one step ahead of you. Download the Lakeside app and right there's the Bible reading schedule. It's all already loaded. You can just be out and driving around. You can be sitting in the doctor's office. You don't even need the paper version. Right there is the schedule of readings for each week. And the bulletin, as I've tried to do the last couple of years, on the back page, I'll always have either some kind of a commentary or something related to that week's reading. Some things, again, that will just reinforce the things that we're going to be reading. Some things for us to think about. Things that will help us and aid us in our reading. Furthermore, on January the 17th, that's 2 weeks from now, Brother Luke Hale will be preaching that morning, and he's going to preach a sermon on wisdom. And he's going to do that particularly from the vantage point of the life of Solomon and see how Solomon exercised wisdom and then on other occasions maybe didn't exercise such great wisdom. On the following week, January the 24th, I'll be presenting a sermon on how to read Proverbs. Now, when we read Proverbs, we maybe don't go about that in the best possible way. I want to talk about how we can maximize those readings in Proverbs. Then in February, I'm going to present a lesson on how to read the Psalms. Again, it's easy for us to just kind of just rush right through the Psalms and don't really get out of them what we need to. We'll talk about how we can maximize those readings as well. I also want to encourage all of our men, as you teach or if you preach or if you give invitation talks or maybe on men's participation night, think about incorporating the readings from that particular week and the thoughts and the things that you present to the congregation. Really think when we do all these things together, it's going to be a great year. So we do a number of things together as a group of God's people to pursue after the way of wisdom. Solomon said in Proverbs 1 and verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Don't despise wisdom. Don't be a fool. I don't quickly just go around and just tell people, "Well, you're a fool," or "That's foolish." But the Bible doesn't hesitate to say that when you despise wisdom, when you reject it and neglect it, you in fact are a fool. Let's be wise. Let's pursue the way of wisdom together this year. Now, in just a moment, we're going to be led in a song of invitation. And we are going to encourage one another through the singing of that song to be wise, to not be foolish. One of the most foolish things that you can do is to put off obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. To just disregard what the Bible says about your obligation to Jesus, your response to His grace and His love and His mercy and what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. Don't be a fool anymore. Be wise. Be like that wise man that Jesus talked about who built his house on the rock of Jesus Christ. Build your life on Him. If we can help somebody tonight to obey the gospel, be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, then tonight's the night to do that. All things are ready for you to become a Christian. Brother or sister, it may be that you've been living foolishly in your life even as a Christian. You've allowed sin to enter in. You've allowed the things of this world to distract you from what's most important. Don't do that any longer. Repent. Get that thing turned around. Start serving the Lord in a better way. Use the book of Proverbs and Psalms and Ecclesiastes and the wisdom literature to get you back on the right track this year. If there's anybody here tonight who's subject to the invitation, if we can help you or assist you, we stand ready to do that. Just make your way down front right now while we stand and while we sing.